love somebody with all your heart and soul. And you want to keep them with you, but you know they won't.
Country Music Friday, hour three here on the Triple Option. We are not going to be as versatile. We're going more speed option, but hell, we get down the line. Don't worry about that.
Get her done.
Hour and a half left to go before Friday night flex, and then we've got a full night of
flex
high
ATX.
School. Flex ATX, shout out!
Shout out.
Snoop.
Snoop. Man,
BK.
Sam Pika.
Yeah, BK gone. Sam Pika is in. Sam, our zero technique, Rod.
I like that.
He is. He's built like a zero, like a high school zero.
I thought you played line, didn't you?
Yeah.
O-line or D-line?
I was D-line, yeah.
D-line.
Nose guard,
right?
Yeah.
So there you go. He's not too far from it.
No.
Yeah, he's right there. Right there at the one.
So
one
Sam is in for the rest of the show. And like I said, we got a packed Friday night for you. Any plans tonight, Rod? Is your girl back in town yet?
No, she's not back in town yet.
Okay.
She's she's coming this weekend, supposedly, but you know, we have to reschedule because some stuff. But
gotcha.
We'll see.
But you've been living the bachelor life. This is
going to
be a Pluckers type weekend, right?
I'm tired of the bachelor life, I'm not going to tell you.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm done with the bachelor life. I don't get to enjoy any of the bachelor life, so
yeah,
why do I want to be
true.
A bachelor?
Right.
I'm like having sex with randos or anything.
No.
Then it's not there's no bachelor life.
You're not allegedly.
No, I'm not.
You're not going to Buffalo for a road trip.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to hotel bars and hanging out at the W like I used to do back in the day. No, I'm not doing that. So I don't get to enjoy the bachelor life. All I do is got to do all the things
chores.
I usually do on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't like it.
Yeah,
sucks. I'm a domesticated animal at this point in my life.
You are, man.
So I'm done.
You are a house cat.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're just looking out on a life that you can't enjoy.
I don't want to enjoy it.
I know you don't want to enjoy
it. In the house. I look out there and go, nah, I'm good.
That's when you know.
I'm good.
That's when you know your pet is totally cool. You open the door, cat or dog, and they're like,
nah,
I'm all
good.
Right, man. Why?
It's fine in here.
Why?
I think the AC is pretty
nice. I'm all good.
My dog does that all the time.
You gonna go ahead and feed me now?
Yeah, the old one does. The young one doesn't, though. The young one always
young
goes
go
out. But the old one's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I've been out there. It's not that good. It's not that cool.
Right.
You're just going to lock me out there for an hour, and you think I'm going to enjoy it the whole time. No, I need 10 minutes. I'm good.
Yeah. And I'm not going to chase anything. Like, I hope you know that.
Because I'm not going to catch it. The young one's still chasing squirrels. The old one knows, like, I'm never going to catch
that
squirrel.
I'm not going to get that thing.
That damn squirrel's just messing with me.
And by the way, I'm so domesticated, I wouldn't eat it if I did.
I did.
Like, well, I'm not going to eat it.
I'm like, oh,
I've got good food gives me.
Dad cooked me bacon this weekend. I'm definitely not going to eat this squirrel.
Did you really cook the bacon?
When I eat bacon, I eat bacon.
Oh,
yeah. When I eat bacon, I eat bacon.
What a good dog dad there. All right, let's get back to some football here because the Cowboys are going to be Monday night, so we'll get into that a little bit Monday and maybe even a little bit later. But the Texans are going to be early on. That's noon kickoff on CBS on Sunday as they take on the undefeated 4-0 Titans. Titans, a 3.5-point favorite in this thing. You've got who would have thought that?
How much?
3.5.
I think that's kind of low.
I thought it was low, too. I thought it was low, too. I know it's the NFL, but I thought it was low, too.
I had to hit my bookie up, man. That seems a little low.
Now, if I would have told you before the season that the MVP guy in this matchup was going to be Ryan Tannehill and not Deshaun Watson, you probably would have laughed.
I would have shouted you down.
I know you would have been, rightfully so.
And and called you names.
You probably would have. But that is the case.
That is the case.
Tennessee has been rocking and rolling. Their defense is really good, too. As a Texans fan, as someone who really studies this team, you think it should be more than 3.5? Give me some keys for the Texans to keep this thing close and maybe win it.
Oh, man. There are a lot of keys. This Titans team, it's interesting. You know, after that Bills game, I think it just... Nobody wanted to give the Titans their props because the Ryan Tannehill experiment, we weren't sure if there was any longevity or staying power to it. Could have just been a flash in a pan, aberration, right? One-hit wonder. We didn't know that because last year he was playing at a really, really high level. We know the Tennessee defense was good, and we know the identity of the Tennessee Titans. How basically, they're Mike Vrabel's personality is what they are. They're a hard-nosed football team. They want to be old school and run the football. They would like to run the football down your throat. They don't give a damn if you know it. They got the girthiest offensive line, the most mammoth offensive line in the league. And, yeah, they got girth on the line.
Yeah.
They got more size on the O-line probably than any team in the league. They still believe in it. A lot of teams are downsizing on the O-line with more athletic offensive linemen. And the Titans are like, no, we want beef. tons of it. And our running back is bigger than 80% of the defenders that are going to try to tackle him. That's our identity. And then even our wide receivers are physical. A.J. Brown, you know, if he's a tight end or a running back or a wide out. Like, so I just think that's their identity. And that's what I'm worried about, the Texans being able to match that identity. And they got – there's just some freaky stats going on about tight. Here's the freakiest stat, I think, about the tight. Well, one of the freaky stats. One of the freaky stats is – that since Ryan Tannehill became the starter, the Titans have scored a touchdown on 47 of the 55 red zone trips they've made.
Mm.
They got an 85% touchdown rate over 17 games when they get in the red zone.
Wow.
When they get in the red zone, they're almost unstoppable. It's crazy. It's freaky. So that's one of the things that worries me about the Texans. I'm not sure if their red zone defense can stand up. But here's another thing, too. Can they get a pass rush on Ryan Tannehill? And we know he's got more than functional mobility. This is a guy that played wide receiver.
He was a good athlete.
In college. He's a damn good athlete, right, at A&M. How about this? This is a stat that sounds fake. Ryan Tannehill has been sacked just 3 times total.
That's it?
In the first 4 games. That's it. 3 times total. The Titans had given up 17 sacks by this time last year.
Whoa.
And gave up at least 3 sacks in 10 of the prior 16 regular season games. But now that Ryan Tannehill's in there, and it's Arthur Smith, I believe, is the offensive coordinator, if I'm not mistaken. He's kind of no name, and nobody's given him a lot of props, but he has crafted that offense to make it perfectly compatible with Ryan Tannehill's skill set. What I always say about quarterback is it's like picking a quarterback is like picking a significant other. The woman you marry is not the hottest woman you ever dated. You know this, KD. Yeah. You're right? Because sometimes the hottest woman you ever dated can be the most annoying woman you've ever dated. The woman you choose.
Hottest woman I ever dated, I actually didn't get into a real relationship with.
There you go. It happens a lot because.
BS crazy.
There you go, because y'all weren't compatible.
Yeah.
Right? The woman you choose to be your lifelong partner, the person you choose, is going to be the most compatible person with you. Not necessarily the hottest person. I'm sure they're attractive, but not the hottest person, because that's not your top priority at that time. And the same thing with quarterback. I think at one point in quarterback, I don't know who sings the song, but it's a great line. If you can't be with the one you love, you got to love the one you're with.
Yeah.
And everybody wants Trevor Lawrence to be their quarterback, and everybody wants Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes to be their quarterback. Of course you do. But you don't always get those guys. Sometimes you get what you get. And if you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. And I think they had that with Ryan Tannehill. They realized, okay, he's got limitations. I think everybody, this is how they're viewing the quarterback position now, period. Right, it's like, no. Let's just focus on what they do well. Why are we trying to make Ryan Tannehill into Aaron Rodgers when he's not that? Let's let him do what he does. Now, they got the play-action passes. They got the bootlegs working. You know what I mean? They got a strong, powerful running game to accompany him to take the pressure off of him. It's the perfect offense for Ryan Tannehill. Unfortunately, he had Adam Gase before this.
Ugh.
So everybody with Adam Gase is a dumpster fire and an S show. But this offense is perfect for Tannehill. And I don't know if the Texans have enough to keep up with the Titans. That sounds weird to say coming out of my mouth, but they don't. The Titans are just that good right now.
And you got to start with the run. So interesting stuff on the offensive line and only the 3 sacks compared to 17 at this time last year. And you look at their offense, Derrick Henry, he averaged 5.1 yards a carry on just over 20 attempts per game last season. Yeah. He's now averaging 25 carries, but is gaining 3.7 yards per rushing attempt. So the Bills did a really good job and actually held him to his lowest output in his last 17 games. He had 57 yards on 19 carries or 3 yards per. You got to start with that. But the funny thing is, you can start with that, and I just gave you the numbers. People have actually been pretty good against the run game, relatively speaking. But, Rob, they're putting so much focus on it that they're able to get Tannehill and change his launch pad and get him on some play action stuff, and it's really opening up the passing game.
Yeah, and opening up the passing windows.
Yes,
I mean,
a
that's
lot
basic,
of them.
Because with that play action, you are sucking those defenders back down into the box. You have to, because, hell, you can't even defend on a one-on-one to tackle Derrick Henry. If you're like, well, it's going to be a one-on-one, our defender, and you got to make that tackle, you're a bad defensive coordinator, because means you're ill-prepared. That's an ill-advised plan. You need at least 2 defenders coming at him to make sure you can tackle that guy in the open field, because we've seen what he did to Josh Norman and other guys. Oof. So I'm with you. I think, you know, the Texans have to make sure that you almost want to keep him in a phone booth. And if you allow him to get outside the phone booth or get on the edge, or you allow him to get to the second level of your defense, trouble. Trouble. The only way you really can stop him is to never let him get started. That's kind of the thing with him. One thing that worries me about the Texans, though, and they did a better job in it versus Jacksonville, but it is Jacksonville. They're not helping Deshaun Watson out enough. At least Bill O'Brien didn't. And hopefully now they start giving him easier throws. We just talked about how the play action pass opens up things for Ryan Tannehill, makes those passing windows bigger, makes everything easier. Now, Deshaun Watson does not have the running game that Ryan Tannehill does, but you can still use the play action pass, still works. Play action pass is like cleavage. It'll always you'll always give it a peek. You'll always peek at it, and sometimes they're doing play action pass when it's like 2 minutes left. It's like the 2 minute drill, and they're doing play action pass, and the linebacker's like standing right there. It's like because it's play action pass. It's like cleavage. He's gonna look at it, and it helps your quarterback out. Sometimes it helps him get in a rhythm. Deshaun Watson has attempted a screen pass or a play action pass on only 25% of his dropbacks. Now you're like, oh, that's a decent number. That's a quarter of it. But Jared Goff is at 60%. Right, and Ryan Tannehill is probably at around 47-48%, close to 50%, because the studies have shown, all the stats show, it's an easier throw for your quarterback. It sucks that little bit of deception thrown in there. It sucks the defenders down. It makes the defenders a half a step late, puts them out of position, opens up those passing windows. Remember the Sam Ellinger play against UTEP, the touchdown, first touchdown to Josh Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how we all said the it was a strange RPO because Sam pauses,
yeah,
right for a split second. He lifts that elbow up, and him lifting that elbow moves that defender out of the way just a little bit and clears that passing window.
Right.
Same concept with play action pass. Same concept with screen passes. Just that those little. You know, idiosyncratic concepts, right? Those things where, oh, it's just a play fake here, a pump fake here. You'd be surprised how much that puts a defender out of position. And how much
crazy?
It gives him a false
it's
read.
Like a delayed step or a false step.
Yeah, exactly.
People don't realize how important it is.
Blocking system, the same way.
False step. One false step.
He does it all the time, right? He'll have juice check go two steps to the right and then bullet to the left side of the opposite side of the formation. And you go, why do you do that? Well, go look at that middle linebacker.
Right.
When he did that.
He was out of place. Play's done.
He's out of the play already, so. They got to put in more of those little cheat codes for Deshaun Watson.
So, once again, you'll know this, and I'm not sure, you probably had to turn around this quickly, but the Titans played Tuesday night. Let's not forget about that.
That's true.
So, that is a pretty quick turnaround. It's an emotional win, a big win for them, and now you've got to flip that around, and you're taking on a team that people are sleeping on, and rightfully so, in the Houston Texans. Can they protect in this game too, Rod?
Yeah, I'm not sure they can. They can protect him. They can do things to insulate him, right? Get the ball out quicker. Put him on the move. Give him bootlegs. Move the pocket. Bootlegs and waggles. So move the pocket a little bit. And, yeah, give him those easier throws. Let's throw some screen passes into the game plan a little bit. I think they should also try to use more RPOs, run pass options. I think that'll help out Deshaun Watson. He helps him get in the rhythm with those run pass options. I think he's been running them since he was in high school. So I think it's more of a natural concept for him, more organic for him. So there are things they can do, but it's all about getting the ball out quicker and keeping him in a rhythm. He holds the ball, and I hate to say it, without a DeAndre Hopkins, his success rate has dropped tremendously, precipitously, when he is now holding on to the ball. Used to be when he held on to the ball, good things could happen.
Yeah.
That means DeAndre Hopkins has got 6 seconds to get open on coverage, and he's going to get open.
Yeah, but he didn't really run routes.
He did. He's just out there freestyling.
Hopkins didn't.
No, he's just out there, which makes him even harder to cover.
Right,
makes him harder.
Exactly.
I know how to cover the route tree. Yeah. I was trained in it. When you start just freestyling
this
out there.
This is a slant and go. That's a swervy, wervy, pervy.
Exactly.
What the hell is that?
What the hell is that, right? So that's how it is with him, and I think that's why now the success rate drops, because those guys, they're not as good in the scramble drill.
Yeah.
As DeAndre Hopkins was.
Interesting stuff. All right, before we get back to the NFL, let me tell you about Apple Leasing. If you're heading to Houston, maybe Dallas, going to see some family, you got to make sure the automobile is all set up and you want to make sure that it's safe. If safety is your top priority, get to appleleasing.com. Just tell them that. Say, hey, what's the safest car? Let me know, because they've got the numbers for you. If you want to start with numbers, start with price, you can do that. Take that free lease quote. Tell them what price range you're in, and then you can go test drive it after that. They've got rates as low as 2.9%. They're incredibly friendly people. They've been doing this for 30-plus years, and they have reps online, too. So if you want to get to that lower right-hand box and let them know kind of what you're looking for, maybe a customized deal, they'll take care of you. Tell them Kevin from the Horn sent you. Give them a call, 877-593-5797, or it's appleleasing.com. Okay, we've talked about just how bad the college football weekend is, and don't get that mixed up. I'm going to be watching every game. I will be TiVoing. I will be loving it. But Rob, we try and be real on this show, right? Yep. And Georgia Alabama is the game, so we may make it to that a little bit later on. Ooh. But let's finish off with the NFL here. How about Browns Steelers? Pittsburgh, a 3.5-point favorite. Browns, after that real shaky opening game against the Ravens where they just looked outclassed, and they were, they've won four in a row. They're 4-1. They go to Pittsburgh to take on 4-0 Pittsburgh. What do you feel about this game?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that Pittsburgh defense may be, it may be the best defense in the league. It's bordering right there in the top five, no question about it.
I love their pressure schemes.
It's unbelievable.
They're coming from everywhere.
Everywhere. They got the twist stunts working. They got dog blitzes, zone blitzes. You're right. It really is. It's overwhelming.
Herb Hand had to turn them off last weekend. I can't watch it.
Flashbacks. But that's what you worry about with Baker Mayfield, right? So the whole point of what, you know, they've been able to successfully do, Kevin Stefanski, the new head coach there with the Browns, they have basically rebuilt Baker Mayfield's game. And Baker Mayfield used to be really erratic and used to really be kind of off schedule. And that's what everybody liked about him. As a matter of fact, Oklahoma, a lot of his plays are made off schedule and they're made with him being erratic, right? Moving around in the pocket, extending the play, keeping his eyes downfield. And in the NFL, that got him into trouble, right?
Yeah,
Start to get him into trouble. And I think, or at least under bad coaches, what's the guy's name? Freddie Kitchens.
Freddie Hugh.
Right? Yeah. So, and nothing against Freddie, but he did not understand that you have to kind of, you know, you got to develop and nurture Baker Mayfield and try to, you know, accentuate the strengths and try to coach out the weaknesses. That's what Stefanski's doing a good job of. So they're doing the bootleg. He wants to move around. Baker does. Right? He wants to move around.
I would
around,
change his launch pad, and Baker feels comfortable with that.
And they've done that, right? Stefanski's like, okay, you want to move around. You don't like just being in the pocket all the time. So we're going to naturally move you around. We're going to move your launch point at times. We're going to bootleg you. We're going to put the play action in there so you can roll out and have the waggles at times. And they've done some of that. That made his job easier. I think you got to understand the personality of your quarterback. Every quarterback's a little bit different. Some guys love the pocket. They love to sit in that pocket. It's where they want to be all the time. Some guys get antsy in the pocket. Yeah. They literally, you watch them. You can just watch their feet. Sam Ehlinger. Sam gets antsy in the pocket. Yeah. Sam is not a guy who just loves hanging out guy in the pocket. Now, that may be PTSD.
That's exactly what it is.
But he's never, even at Westlake, he wasn't a guy that stayed in the pocket very long. He abandons clean pockets.
Some guys like to climb it. Brady is a great example of a guy who just feels comfortable with trash all around him.
People falling at his feet.
I'll work to the right a little bit.
He just slides.
Yeah.
Slide a little bit. I'm good. Yeah. Some guys don't need a lot of room to work. Some guys like, oh, I need space. Give me some space. I feel crowded in this damn pocket. So I think they've done a good job of kind of recognizing the different personality traits of Baker. And it should be, you know, an NFL Films movie, Rebuilding Baker. They're doing a really good job of it. And you're starting to see it pay off.
And we're seeing it pay off. Yeah. Speaking of Tom, you've got the Packers and the Buccaneers. I thought this was funny. I was listening to some audio of Tom Brady, and he got a ton of questions about Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you could tell he was just kind of, all right, I get it. But some of his answers were, yeah, I mean, he throws the ball really well, and there's a lot of touchdowns and not many interceptions. He didn't want to get into it too much, but these are two of the best of all time. And the GOAT on with resume, no doubt, would be Tom. But a lot of people love what Aaron does. And, God, he feels comfortable. You can talk about a match made in heaven. You're just talking about it with Stefanski and Baker so far.
Yeah, man.
This has been a great marriage with LaFleur and also Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron's not an easy one to sell. I mean, we've almost felt this process even after 13-3 last year, but you're feeling it especially this year where he's looking over and kind of blowing kisses.
Come on now.
And giving a little wink after some play calls near the goal line. He's bought in. When he's bought in,
scary.
Watch out.
Yeah,
I'm hoping Tampa can make this a game. Green Bay's only favored by one, so
Is this going to be the national game?
That's a great question.
Because if I don't get to see this game, I'm going to be upset. Like, I want to see that game.
You will, because the Cowboys won't be on, so this will be Fox 325, 330 game.
I'm assuming that's
so
the
that,
game.
That should
it's
be our national game.
Okay.
Here. Yeah.
But I agree with you. It's crazy to watch. Just a couple of stats. Green Bay has not turned the ball over yet on offense, which is just crazy.
I read that. That's almost unbelievable.
He's only being sacked on 2% of his plays, which is the least in the NFL, tied with the Tennessee Titans, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point about him and LaFleur, this is a bromance, folks. That is, how about this? Matt LaFleur, right now, in my opinion, is running the Shanahan offense better than Kyle Shanahan's running the Shanahan offense.
Wow.
It is.
Yeah,
that's just
yeah.
the reality.
No, I mean, you
of
can
it.
See the similarities
it's the same,
in there.
It's the
they're
same
better
offense.
Teams. So.
It's the same offense. And it's unbelievable what he's doing. But they use a ton of motion. When they use motion, their yards per carry is 6.3. When they use any kind of motion, pre-snap motion, 6.3 yards per carry. They have 13 explosive runs. That's runs of 10 yards or more. Third most in the NFL when they use motion on any play. And the yards before contact, 2.6 yards before contact when they use motion on the play. They're the best in the NFL. We're using pre-snap motion right now. And everybody is a legitimate receiver. They use the fullback. They use running backs. They use tight ends, wideouts. You never know who's going to be a feature receiver in that offense. And, you know, without motion, just to compare, mm-hmm. Without motion,
so 6 yards with motion.
6.3 yards per carry with motion, best in the NFL. Without motion, yards per carry drops to 3.3.
Wow.
29th in the NFL. Explosive runs, 5 without
motion.
That's
pretty emphatic with 13. And without.
Exactly. And the yards before contact drops from 2.6, which is best in the NFL with motion, to 0.6, which is 27th in the NFL without motion. Motion is key to the offense. It's all about confusing. It's all about confusing the defenders, giving them a lot of information to process, and they are great at it with their formations, with their personnel packages. By the way, nobody's using – only the Saints probably, and I'm trying to think of someone else who may use more personnel packages than Green Bay. I would say only the Saints right now are using more personnel groupings than Green Bay. They're using 21, they're using 20, they're using, you know, 12, 11, 10, they're using a ton. They just throw a lot at people,
mm-hmm.
and it's confusing a lot of defenders. It gives you a lot to game plan for.
All right, so, yeah, I think you're right in checking on it. That will be the national game, Packers and the Bucks, 3:30, Fox on Sunday. We'll get back to football. My guess is with Rod's rant of the day, we may be sticking with that sport. What do you got, brother?
Yeah, actually, we're going to talk a little bit about the Cowboys matchup with Arizona.
Beautiful.
Got the air raid coming back to town with Cliff Kingsbury, who, by the way, used to be on the same team with Mike McCarthy back when Mike McCarthy was the offensive coordinator for the Saints. Young Cliff Kingsbury was on the practice squad as a quarterback for the Saints back then. So I wonder if they'll have some stories for the media about that, about those times. But I want to talk about the air raid. A lot of people said the air raid would not work at the NFL level. And hey, maybe the judge and the jury still out on that. I don't think so. I think it's pretty evident now that it's going to work at the NFL level. I don't know if it'll win a Super Bowl. That's a different discussion. But right now, the air raid is working, and Kyler Murray is right now one of the better young quarterbacks in the league. So we'll come back and talk about just the experimentation of different offenses from the college game trickling up to the NFL level and why people were pessimistic about the air raid at the NFL level and why they were wrong about that. All of that and more right here on Rod's Rant of the Day, right here on the Triple Option with RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9 and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. The Dallas Cowboys will be facing the Arizona Cardinals coming up this Monday for Monday Night Football. Of course, no Dak Prescott in that game. But the other quarterback, Kyler Murray, who is from the great state of Texas, who's played in that stadium, actually, I want to say he's like 6-0 or 7-0 in that stadium. State title games and Big 12 title game.
Big 12 title
too.
Game.
Forgot about that one.
And they always had Arkansas, which they somehow always win that game. Texas A&M when he
was
there.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that too. Yeah, so he's had some success in that stadium. But the thing about Kyler Murray that makes him really interesting, especially in that offense with Cliff Kingsbury, is that, you know, Cliff Kingsbury acknowledged this too when he had that statement. Remember before he drafted Kyler Murray number one overall, he says, "I've been, you know, what?" It sounded creepy, but he's like, "I've been watching this kid since he was like 16 years old."
Yeah,
and it also he remarked that essentially he's been running the same offense that, you know, that he's running in college. That I'm going to ask him to run. He's been running that since he was in high school.
Yeah.
Same concepts, a lot of the same philosophy, a lot of the same ideology. And so that religion, if you will, because that's what Graham Harrell says the air raid kind of is. Like, you got to compare it to a religion. He has been a disciple, if you will, in that religion for a long time. And I think I always call them spread babies. You know, those players, it is almost like a Neo in the Matrix. They know the passing game. They're so familiar with the spread concepts. They're almost ingrained in them.
They feel more comfortable. Joe Burrow is a great example of that. LSU.
Yeah, I think it's because of 707 and the passing camps and all this kind of stuff. So when it happened, everybody was like, oh, it's going to fail miserably. They got the shortest quarterback in the history of the NFL that's going to start to run an offense that has never been run in the NFL in that very unfiltered version of it. So it's going to fail miserably. And I remember saying, it's not going to fail. It's going to work. Now, I don't know if it's going to win a Super Bowl. I don't necessarily know if, Kyler Murray's going to end up winning the MVP. But I do know that I think the offense is going to actually work, and it's going to translate to win games, and it'll translate ultimately to Kyler Murray having success. Now, this year, upsettingly, I don't know how they lost to Detroit in Carolina.
I know.
So that's how you know they're still
Carolina's well coached. We know that.
Matt Rowe, they are well coached, but that's no Christian McCaffrey.
I know. No, Carolina. It's not an excuse.
They probably should have been. They probably should be 5-0 going into this game. Remember, they lost to they won at San Fran to start the season off. That kind of surprised everybody, but San Fran's been struggling a little bit lately. They got a lot of injuries. Washington, they beat them. Washington's a bad team. But then they played Detroit and lost to Detroit 26-23. Lost to Carolina 31-21 at Carolina. And then they beat the Jets, of course, and the Jets are terrible. So they're 3-2. Probably should be 5-0. So Cliff Kingsbury still.
With that schedule?
They should be 5-0, right?
At least 4-1.
They
should probably be 5-0.
So you can tell he's still learning on the job. And I still think they got a lot of holes on the team, including on the defensive side where they drafted Isaiah Simmons and he has not looked good.
Are we going to be wrong about that?
I think I may have been wrong about that. I like Isaiah Simmons. And it could just be they're not using him the right way. I haven't watched enough Arizona Cardinals football this year to determine, watch the film on Isaiah. And he doesn't play that often. Apparently he's not even winning enough playing time at practice for you to get, a accurate evaluation of him on the field. So I don't know what's going on with that, but I digress. All right, let's talk about the Cardinals a little bit and the offense. So I think the offense, it actually does have some staying power in the league. Number one, it's because people have been using those air raid concepts. Andy Reid will tell you that for the last 10 years. And he admitted that too. And he said that Cliff Kingsbury was a genius before he even got to the NFL. He said his time with Cliff Kingsbury, studying Cliff Kingsbury and his offense because Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. All right. So he spent a lot of time with Cliff, and he said the guy's an offensive genius. And he also said something that I thought was interesting. Andy Reid said this during their Super Bowl run last year. He said the college game has always been 5 years ahead of the NFL. And he said for the first time, it may not be a 5-year gap because a lot of the concepts now that the college game uses, we used to, and it's now a lot of it's very ancestral in terms of the philosophies and different offensive ideologies.
And a lot of those concepts actually college stole from high school football.
Oh, no question.
It's funny.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You teased it how it bleeds up and
question.
Down,
Because you have less there's less expectations at the lower levels of football, so you can experiment.
Yeah.
Right, you experiment in high school. Nobody's gonna fire you the next day for experimenting with some wacky coverage or some wacky concept. You do that at the college level, at the wrong college.
Yeah, it's gonna be gone.
You're gonna be gone. You know what I mean? And the NFL even worse, right? So I think that's probably what it is. And now you're seeing teams are willing to, now that there's more of a sample size for those concepts working, they're willing to experiment. So my premise as to why I thought it would work, and you know what? I still may be wrong. We're only 2 years into this experiment, so we could fail. But right now, Kyler Murray looks like he's gonna work. And in that offense, I think it's perfectly compatible with his skill set. And I think that's why they insisted on drafting a quarterback in the first round in back-to-back years, because they knew Kyler Murray would be perfect for that Cliff Kingsbury version of the air raid. But the premise of my take was that anytime you have an offensive concept that trickles up from the college game to the NFL, usually, not all the time, but usually it's worked.
Mm-hmm.
And especially initially it works. Now, the NFL is a film-driven league. It will always catch up to everything. That's why, you'll see Baker Mayfield is a prime example, right? Baker Mayfield comes to the league initially. He's great. He's killing it. And then 2 years in, the NFL catches up to him. They're watching film, figuring out your strengths, your weaknesses, what you do well. You have to evolve real time as a quarterback in the league.
Right.
Otherwise, the league will catch up to you. That's why Tom Brady is exceptional, because the league hasn't caught up to him in 20 years.
And if they did, he had an adjustment to the adjustment, which is what Lamar is trying to do right now.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers, all that kind of stuff, right? So I started looking at it, right? Look at the pistol. Remember the pistol formation? Another concept.
Chris Holt.
trickled up from the college game, Chris Alt, right? And the pistol formation, when it was first brought to the NFL by Andy Reid, most notably, he kind of popularized it when he got to the Chiefs. But Cam Newton with Carolina, they were running the pistol formation in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And Chris Alt, that it worked. It worked for RG3 when they ran it in Washington. They ran a lot of pistol with Colin Kaepernick with the San Francisco 49ers. Ran a lot of pistol. Andy Reid brought in Chris Alt to be his consultant with the Kansas City Chiefs. Ran a lot of pistol. And by the way, who runs more pistol right now than any team in the league? Baltimore Ravens. Pistol
it's
is
not,
still there.
It's not even close.
Still there.
I feel like that is their
it is their offense.
Base
it's
formation.
Kind of their identity, yeah. But I'm saying, the pistol still working. In there, it's working. All right, it hadn't gone anywhere. How about and it didn't happen all the time, but the zone read and read option. I mean, we all know how that worked out, right? With Colin Kaepernick, Cam Newton, RG3 goes on even to this day. People still have the read option and the zone read as a part of their offensive schemes, especially now the RPO has become more and more prominent. So it worked. Even the Wildcat formation, and I know it's not nobody runs the Wildcat anymore. Every now and then, you may see it.
It got sexy in the NFL for a second, though.
Do you remember? Listen, the Patriots dominated the AFC East, right? From the time they won their first Super Bowl until current, they've won, what was it? Is it 19 AFC titles? 18 AFC titles from 2001, because 20 they're in right now. So 18 AFC titles. So 16 out of 18 years, I believe.
AFC East, you mean?
AFC East titles.
Right.
Sorry, AFC East titles. And the one of the years they didn't win it in that 18 years, because it happened in 2002, the Jets won it. Well, that in 2008, the Miami Dolphins won it. The Miami Dolphins won the AFC East in 2008 by running the Wildcat.
I remember they had a lot of that.
Bill Belichick couldn't figure it out. At the time, now they figured it out later, but the Wildcat formation essentially is what won the Miami Dolphins, the AFC East, because the NFL hadn't seen it and nobody knew anything about it. They finished 11-5 that year and won the AFC East just off running the Wildcat.
Was it Ronnie Brown?
Ricky Williams,
Ricky Williams, too.
Dude, they were killing the NFL. The NFL couldn't figure it out. But I'm not, nobody runs anymore, but I'm just saying it had success initially, just didn't have the staying power. And I just honestly, people probably should still try to run it every now and then. You just don't see it enough. I'd run it with Derrick Henry, truth be told.
Yeah.
Because they just get numbers advantage.
Why hand off to him?
They can't stop him anyway. Yeah. I'll just give him an extra blocker. I want six offensive linemen and just let him run it. I really would. The RPOs, when Chip Kelly brought the RPO into the NFL and popularized it, the RPO is now one of the mainstay concepts in the league, and it's still there to stay. So it's very rare. It's actually more rare that a concept from college makes its way to the NFL and fails. Most of them succeed.
For a little while, they do.
The fun and gun is the one that I can throw out there that did not succeed. The fun and gun, Steve Spurrier's experiment was terrible.
No.
He's 7-5, then he went 5-11. It was an absolute failure.
But a lot of the fun and gun in college was based on smash route and having really good, having separating receivers. But the smash concept, you know, I mean, that.
I mean, that's something revolutionary. I think what we found out was the fun and gun wasn't revolutionary.
It was.
I think if it's revolutionary and it gets to the league and it works still, I think you find out like, oh, it is revolutionary. And then that's when the RPO stays.
Right.
The zone read stays, right?
Run and shoot work, though.
The run and shoot work. And the run and shoot stayed around a while.
Yeah.
It did. I mean, the run and shoot, as I remember in June Jones in Atlanta, they went 7-9 and they went 9-7. And then Wayne Funtz in Atlanta, he's the one, Wayne Funtz in Detroit, he's the one that really had success because I think in 93 they went 10-6, they went 9-7 and 10-6 in 95. But the Oilers, you know, probably had as much success as anybody. They should have made a Super Bowl with the run and shoot, and they underachieved the entire time. So those, I don't know if had the extreme staying power. My point is the air raid is going to have a little bit of staying power, and I think it did have that initial shock. And maybe now the NFL is starting to catch up to some of those concepts, but I think Cliff Kingsbury is evolving in real time in a really good way. I mean, hell, the no huddle is something from college. I mean, Michigan was running a no huddle back in the early 1900s.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the sugar huddle comes from the Cincinnati Bengals, right? And Steve Wyche brings the no huddle to the NFL. They make the Super Bowl in 1988.
Sam Wyche.
And people still run no huddle. No huddle's still there, even though the NFL at one point tried to outlaw the no huddle. They literally tried to make rules against it.
Isn't that crazy?
They did.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, it's I don't think many people know that.
In an AFC title game, the NFL told the Cincinnati Bengals they could not
do
no huddle.
That was Sam Weiss, too, in the 80s.
And they still beat them. And before we get to the break, they beat the Bills, ironically. And Marv Levy was so upset by it because he was the one complaining they couldn't stop
it. He went to it.
You can't beat him, join him. He's like, that's the K-gun. The K-gun is the hurry up.
Right.
Stole it from Sam Weiss.
It's great stuff, and I love whenever you get theoretical on football like that, and there's a lot of macro. I'm watching Arch Manning, right?
Oh, yeah.
Isidore Newman and Booker T. Washington last night. Huh. Interesting game. I love this ESPN2 high school stuff.
I'm mad I missed that.
On a Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
But they never huddled. I mean, he said, I got some advice from my grandfather, Archie, and Archie said, you got to go into that huddle and you got to take control. And he said, Grandpa, we don't huddle.
That's
fantastic.
Hey, Grandpa,
we don't huddle. I get your point. I got to be a good leader and I got to be someone they can trust, but I can't do that in a huddle. Good stuff. All right, let's get back to some baseball stuff here and off the record, too. We'll give you an update on the Astros and the Devil Rays. It is game 6. They are heading to the bottom of the second inning. And also, what's going on outside of Petco where the Astros are playing? We've got a shame game going on. This is The Horn. Country Music Friday. Here on the Triple Option with RBKD. BK is on his way to go call Austin High football. We've got high school football coming up here on the Horn. Snoop Daniels talking with him during the break. Hardworking man, does a great job with that show. Friday Night Flex, so we'll get you ready coming up in a little bit less than an hour.
Yeah.
As we'll continue to update you, too, on what's going on with the Astros and the Devil Rays. Ghostros, bottom of the second. And Tampa Bay finally got someone on with the base hit. Framber Valdez has been good. It's still early on, but they are scoreless as the Devil Rays bat in the bottom of the second inning. God, he just threw a breaking ball for a strikeout that was that had a lot of tilt and a lot of movement.
Man,
he's got some good stuff.
Yeah, man, he's got some talent. He does. He's built like a freaking like a linebacker.
He really is.
Like a running back, more like it. I mean, he is, man. He is stout.
They just showed he's got 73 strikeouts on his curveball, and that leads Major League Baseball. He's got a really sick curveball. So we'll keep you updated on that. But, Rod, as we get to a little bit of off the record two here, apparently not a big shock, but fans are using megaphones to call the Astros cheaters outside of Petco Park. So I was going to bring it up, but one of the things that has really helped out the Astros has been not only throughout the whole season, but certainly in the postseason. You know, even if they would have been in a state in these bubble playoffs where they're allowing some fans, I mean, I don't know if you're watching Dodgers Braves at all, but there's not tons of fans, but you can hear them, the ones that are getting loud, and sometimes you can hear them a little bit better when it's not a full house and you're just hearing individual voices. So they've gotten lucky with that. And they're playing in San Diego, so you think about state of California, and they're being stricter than other states with COVID and letting fans in. But fans using megaphones to call them out
outside of Petco. It's great. I'll give them props for
being creative. You're an Astros fan. You give them a little love for that.
I'll give them love for that, man. That's some creative heckling. I'm cool with that. If you know what I mean? Be creative about your heckling. You got to be outside. You got to think outside the box these days because of COVID. I admire this guy, and it was several different reporters that reported that.
Tim Cantor, right?
I thought this was a joke at first. I thought it was like some Onion article, but it's not. Several members of the media who were covering the game between the Astros and the Rays reported someone with a bullhorn behind Petco Park is talking about the Astros. The baseball community has not forgotten your transgressions. The guy kept yelling, "You're a cheater. Shame on you." The man would yell over and over again. Another guy, Chandler Rome, says a man outside the ballpark is on his megaphone yelling that the Astros are a bunch of cheaters and that Jose Altuve, you, sir, are a cheater. leader. Shame on you. And he's going down a list of players who were on the team and saying the same thing about them. Oh, man, this is great. Carlos Correa got called out. Josh Reddick. It's good stuff, man.
It is good stuff. It's good stuff. And, I mean, they're hearing that. You know they're hearing great. That.
If they can hear it in the press box, then they can hear it on the field. Yeah,
yeah, they're hearing it.
Because it's quiet out there. There's no fans.
That's the whole thing.
There's like a few fans.
So you know that they're catching that. I think they've been able to use this, though, Rod. And not having to deal with the fans and everything that's going on, especially in the regular season, is an issue. Wow. As Brandon Lau is going to score the first run
Son
for Tampa Bay. It is 1-0 on a double by Willie Adames. So we said before the show, this has the type of feel. Houston needs to get up early.
They need to start fast. I'm with you. I just worry that I think if they start fast, that contagious mojo that they got, I think it'll spread really quickly and it'll inspire guys. But I also think the opposite can happen if they fall behind early. I think they could get in a negative state pretty quickly.
Do you get the sense, though, speaking of their state and the point I was making before that double right there to take the lead, it does feel like they've galvanized and there is a us against the world. Mm-hmm. It's nice when you don't have to take on the world every single day and you got situations like this that are good reminders that it's you against the world.
Very
but it's
true.
Not in your face as much as
totally
as it would be.
It's not as abrasive or aggressive. Yeah, you can still, and I think Dusty Baker's I think he plays to it. He's been playing
Dusty
to it.
Dusty has been the perfect guy.
Yeah,
for
he's been playing to it.
And you saw the Correa hug with Baker there was something a little bit more to that.
Yeah.
Than just my 71-year-old lovable manager who I'm giving a hug to. You can tell those guys have rallied around him. I know Astros fans didn't think so, but or some of them didn't. He was the perfect guy considering the situation.
Yeah, nobody really knew, but you were talking about how he could be a healing force in that locker room. Not necessarily a great, the best baseball guy or in terms of strategy. And
he's old school.
Because he's old school, but I think that old school approach has helped him with these Astros. I think these Astros actually, who were the analytically driven, progressive, forward-thinking Astros that got them in a little bit of trouble and corrupted them a bit, I think his old school approach, I think it's actually it's good to balance.
It's exactly
them,
what it
right?
is. It balances it out. So they're so new school.
Right?
You don't have to worry about it. But keeping Zach Greinke in or keeping Altuve at second
base,
it's stuff like that the analytics would have said, no way. He's
exactly
saying,
hey, right.
I'm going to go with the analytics, but let's also have a little feel.
Yeah,
let's mix and match here and have a little bit, like Rod said, totally of that balance. All right, we'll keep you updated on it. 1-0 Tampa Bay, bottom of the second. Valdez with a runner on second and two outs trying to get out of this little mini jam, but a little bit of the damage is already done. 3 hours in, about 30 minutes, and right around that to go as we've got Friday Night Flex coming up at 6:30. It's Kevin Dunn. It's Rod Babers. Sam Pica is producing. And, we're going to get to what's on tap pretty much right away because we've got not a busy weekend, but it's still a weekend of football.
That's
we'll
right.
look at the college stuff, look at the pro stuff, and give some of our picks as we preview the weekend and what's on tap. This is The Horn.